Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
And
Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at AngiesList.com. And
Tire Rack,
offering an online tool for finding tires based on vehicle, needs, budget, and brand.
At TireRack.com. And
CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Physics Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Is Professor Laszlo Tisza here today?
He may be. See, something that we, not just we, but I mean the entire world thought was impossible may now be possible. Now, you may have read about this a few weeks ago in the newspaper. Scientists in Princeton, New Jersey, using a combination of atomic and electromagnetic manipulation, have made light travel faster than light.
Get out of town!
I mean, Einstein postulated that nothing
can travel,
including light, can travel faster than 186,000 miles a second. And
which,
these guys,
in my opinion, is plenty fast enough.
Well, interestingly, these guys have gotten light to travel so fast, you ready for this?
Yeah.
That the light comes out of the machine before it goes in. All of this, of course, raises a fascinating practical question here at Car Talk Plaza. A few years ago, Bugsy, who's in charge of procuring and delivering cars to us, had to deliver a test car to Tommy. And he called Tommy up in the morning and asked when he would be at his office. And Tommy said, well, I'm going in a little late today. So Bugsy said, well, that's okay. I'll come in the afternoon. Tommy said, well, I'll be leaving on the early side.
Well, I had stuff to do.
To which Bugsy replied, well, don't leave too early or you'll pass yourself coming in.
So now it may actually be possible for me to do that.
It may.
I may have been doing it all the time.
All these years, you may have been on the brink.
As always.
Of a Nobel Prize.
I'm on the cutting edge of technology.
Indeed.
As always. Man!
Now, look, if your car is not traveling at the speed of light or even the speed of dark, call us and we'll try to help. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. What is the speed of dark?
Dark is faster than light, isn't it?
Maybe.
I mean, I think so. The speed of dark. Again, see, on the cutting edge, no one has even mentioned the speed of dark before.
Because it seemed unimportant.
Not anymore.
The
speed of dark.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patty from Nashua, New Hampshire.
Hi, Patty.
Patty,
hi.
Is that with an I?
With a Y.
Whoa, with a Y. Excellent.
What's up, Patty?
Well, I have an 87 Honda Accord, which is sort of interesting because I got it from my mother's mechanic who had sort of fixed it up. I guess it had been in a few accidents. And now it's beautiful, but the problem I have now is with the brakes. Hmm. And this is something that my father has told me not to get looked at.
Not brakes, to get looked at. I think he's right. Yeah, why bother?
Right.
They're vastly overrated.
Well, when I brake, the car shakes a lot. And the brakes, there's nothing, I mean, the brakes work. So, like, if I were to apply the brakes really hard, it definitely would stop.
Yeah.
But when, like, if I'm just braking normally, like a stop sign or something, the car wobbles a lot. And the steering wheel shakes, too.
And your father says, don't worry about it.
Yeah, right. And actually, he has my sister has it now, I think a 90 Civic that does the same thing.
And therefore, it's okay.
Right.
I think he's trying to bump the two of you off. He's trying to get rid of you. While it could be not particularly dangerous in that it could be a warped disc.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
It could be. And it's likely to be. And he's likely to be right. There is the chance on this car, and because of its age and because of what I know about these things, mm-hmm. that you could easily have a very badly worn ball joint, which could cause the same thing. the steering wheel shaking.
And be ready to cause the wheel to
fall. Or you could
off.
Have a very badly worn tie rod end. Again, the car's the right age so that any of you have two ball joints at each wheel and two tie rod ends. So you have one, two, three, four, eight pieces that could be responsible for a wheel falling off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Any one of them breaking could cause the wheel to fall off or start
not fall going off in the traditional sense, but fall
underneath the car and start going sideways instead of front to back.
Oh, right.
Right, dragging underneath, creating sparks and igniting the, you know, the gas tank and all that.
Generally not good.
Yeah, well, the car also actually, it pulls to the right a little bit.
Separate problem.
Okay, separate
problem. It probably has a seized caliper, too.
that's separate.
Did he give you this car?
Yes, he did.
He did.
He bought it for me, yeah.
And he's, Well, he's wrong.
He's afraid you're going to ask him to pony up the dough.
Someone gives you a car. Can you send that person the bill for whatever is wrong with it?
Oh, no, no.
Well, it depends how much the bill is.
He's not right to tell you to not worry about it, because I would certainly be worried about it if it were my daughter who was driving that car, because it could be something, as my brother says, quite dangerous.
You could be driving a death trap.
Yeah. I mean, you could hit a bump and bingo, all of a sudden the car is going sideways at 65 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Bad. You should just take it to the closest gas station.
Yeah.
And ask them to check the front end.
Okay, the front end.
You can describe the symptom, but tell them make sure you want all the ball joints checked and all the tie rod ends.
So I might need a new ball joint?
This car even has ball joints in the back. You might as well check those too, because those come off and wheels fall off from the back too. They wanted to make sure that they were equal opportunity disasters, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, yes, you might need a new ball joint or two or four.
Oh.
Or eight.
Six, actually. Yeah, I think it has just uppers in the back. But
uppers.
You should get them all checked.
Uh-huh.
Because it could be serious.
Oh, okay.
All right?
All right. Well,
good.
Thank you very much.
See you, Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I am Steve from Alexandria, Virginia. But I almost feel like I should say that I live in the Pentagon, because that is where my car problem arises.
Your car problems started in the Pentagon, or?
Well, let me explain. It's first of all, it's a 1989 Honda Civic, about 135,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have is this. I work in Alexandria, about 10 miles from the Pentagon, and for over a year now.
I got it.
A couple of times a week, I drive after work to the Pentagon, and I park in one of their parking lots, which connects to the subway that I can take to Washington, D.C. to go to a basketball game, a hockey game. 4 or 5 hours later, when I come back, every time I start the engine, the check engine light comes on. Now,
and you suspect some skullduggery.
So I can't pronounce that word as well as you can, but yeah, I suspect that and other nefarious things.
You're not a lawyer or a politician, are you?
I am one of the two. I am a lawyer.
Well, then we can't talk to you. We know exactly what's wrong with the car. We're not going to tell you.
Yeah, but is there anything different when you drive to the Pentagon parking lot? Is that a significant deviation from what you usually do? Is it a much greater distance?
10 miles versus, say, 5 miles.
Steve.
Well, I know the answer you're looking for.
That
there are some peculiar electromagnetic radiations coming. And we know that there are, right?
Well, where else there?
I always feel like leaving notes on other cars in the parking lot to see if they have the same problem.
I like it.
You guys don't believe me, right?
No, of course not. We know you made it up.
The guy tells us he's a lawyer, and then he says, "You don't believe me, do you?" Are your lips moving?
Yeah. And the car works fine, so I just ignore the light.
I think it has something to do with, you ready for this? I know the answer.
Yeah.
It has to do with moisture in the air.
In a huge parking lot with its
very open. Well, it's just, you know, radiation.
Why is that different from this driveway?
Huh?
Huh?
Must live in a dry area in Alexandria.
Where is the car now, Steve?
It's actually in the parking lot. Where I work.
Where you work.
Doesn't happen during the day.
How far away from you is it? I think I may have to do a little incantation for it. I'm looking forward to doing this for
I think
long.
I think it's a unique combination of driving an extra 10 miles, parking it,
heats up,
and then coming back to it that same night.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not the equivalent of you're not watching Jay Leno and going out and starting the car up. It's different.
Why? It's the same thing. No, he goes out. He's watching Jay Leno. He hasn't driven as far.
Hasn't driven as far. And I think you have a bad oxygen sensor.
Bad oxygen sensor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would cause that light to go on.
No. Yeah, it could.
But it impresses me to hear.
I'm going to do the incantation anyway.
I think that might be more helpful.
I think I'm going to do it, and hopefully, and we can even do this another stump to chumps. We can see if the incantation worked. When's the next basketball game?
What, the season's over.
Over for weeks. Especially for the team in Washington.
Yeah, we know that.
Okay, well, how often does it happen?
Once or twice a week.
Once or twice a week?
Yeah.
All right. That's easy to test, and I'm going to do the... What color is the car?
Beige, but I think technically they call it a gold.
Gold, and is it two-door or four-door?
It's a hatchback, two-door.
Two-door hatchback. And which way is it facing now, north, south, east, or west?
South.
South. Okay, that's all I need to know. Ready? Are you ready?
Do I have to close my eyes?
You don't have to do anything.
You have fuzzy dice anywhere in the car?
It would be good if you closed your eyes.
Do I have to hold on to my wallet?
Close your nose.
Close your eyes and raise your hands out in front of you, palms down. Try to repeat after me if you can, because you'll be my channel to the car. Ready? That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Tell them you spilled a cup of coffee on your lap.
It's fixed. I can feel it.
Maybe that'll help the basketball team.
It'll never happen again. It's fixed.
Steve, when they can't come up with a code, have them test the oxygen. This may even have two oxygen sensors, this car. But have them test the oxygen sensor output.
Sure,
and when they say, it's no good, you'll have solved the problem.
Okay.
See you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Denise from Lino Lakes, Minnesota.
Ah.
Denise. From where?
Land of Lakes.
Where they make the butter?
Where they make the butter.
That's right. And lots of milk, too.
You mean there's actually a city called Land of Lakes?
No, it's Lino Lakes, L-I-N-O.
Oh, where's Land of Lakes?
Well, Land O'Lakes is a company that's just a bit south of here.
Oh, it's a company. Okay, that's good.
Yes.
What's up, Denise?
Okay, well, I have an unusual question. I have a friend, Peter, who's coming over from Germany, and he's going to spend 2 months driving around the U.S. Now, he's not renting a car. He's shipping his car over, and he has a little French Citroën. Do you know that car?
Citroën, yes.
Okay.
He's got the little Citroën.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And my question is, if his car breaks down or he has lots of problems, are you assuming it's going to break down?
Are you kidding?
Then the answer to your question is, yes, he will be driving your car.
Okay.
Yeah, he is going to have a snowball's chance in heaven of finding anyone on this side of the Atlantic that has any idea
what to do.
Certainly not in Lino Lakes, Minnesota. I mean, if you were closer to civilization.
Oh, hey, we're only 20 minutes from St. Paul, so we're not way out there.
As I said, if you were closer to civilization.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's nuts. I mean, he can do, is it a brand new one spanking right off the assembly line, or is it like 6 years old?
No, I think it's a few years old.
Well, that's actually the best bet. Brand new would be bad because there are always problems right out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Very old would also be bad because anything could happen. A couple of years old, it's had some it's baptism by fire.
Okay.
So it's probably going to be all right, but I think you should distance yourself from him as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he may be very lucky.
Uh-huh.
And it's possible that for him to drive the thing for 2 months without anything happening, but the slightest little thing that happens, it's going to be, I mean, it's almost like if he gets a flat tire, the air won't fit. You know,
okay.
We have American air.
Yeah, okay. And
where's he planning to go?
Well, he's going everywhere. He's landing in New York, and then he'll be driving across the Midwest. And then down through California and back through the South.
Peter is an adventurer.
He is, and he's pretty resourceful. So
a swashbuckler. A moron.
Well, you know, you guys can't even fix this car?
No, the trouble, it's not fixing it. The trouble is, if anything breaks that needs a part,
right?
Someone is going to handcraft this thing out of balsa wood in order to get it to work.
Okay.
So anything that breaks, I mean, don't forget, there haven't been any Citroën dealers in this country forever.
Yes, I. That's
how,
what I thought.
On the other hand, mm-hmm. if he can find anyone that can diagnose his problem, mm-hmm. the parts are only a few days away by Federal Express.
Here's my advice to him.
Okay.
You want to somehow get in touch with Hemmings Motor News.
Okay.
And you need to find out all the Citroën clubs uh-huh. across the country, from New York to Lando Lakes.
Okay.
All the phone numbers and addresses of all these guys. There may be some interchangeable thing that somebody may be able to help him with when he breaks down, which he inevitably will, because this is not the world's greatest car.
Well, that's what my husband said. He said the French aren't known for making cars. So.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Well, I think I once observed that the French copy nobody.
Oh, okay.
And nobody copies the French.
Mm-hmm.
And that should tell you something.
Yeah.
So you're going to be here for 2 months.
2 months.
Is he a student and he's between semesters here or something?
Well, that's exactly it.
So he's young and he's got a lot of energy and a
and
lot of...
And he can sleep in the car for 3 or 4 days at a time.
Not in that little car you want.
Oh, yeah. Your sense of smell isn't fully developed until you're like 35. You won't even know how bad it smells in there. See you later.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, you know, the truth is that he would be better off going to almost any country in the world except this one. Because that little car is all over the world. Because it's what? It's a cheap little car.
Well, Citroën makes many, many different models. I mean, they don't make just... I mean, you're thinking of the De Chevaux.
Well, there's one that has replaced the De Chevaux and has evolved to, over the last 30 years, into a Ford Escort.
It's a Trois Chevaux. Okay, Tommy, it's time for your weekly puzzler hints.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, those who know you best generously describe your thinking as blank.
Was that a question or was you just making a statement?
No, it was a question.
People do usually describe my thinking as blank. Oh, generally describe my thinking as, I would say, perspicacious.
No, I was looking for backwards. And remember, that's generous. Well, here's your next hint. Neighbors admiring your yard often ask if your landscaper was who?
Oh, Frederick Law Olmsted.
I was looking for Alan Nissenbaum, because your lawn looks just like Nissenbaum's junkyard. The puzzle was about an engine that came from a junkyard that an owner wanted to run backwards, and I'll have the whole story.
Oh, I remember
in just a minute. Support for Car Talk at NPR comes from the money the NPR Science Desk pays us to clean out their lab rat cages from NPR, NPR member stations, and...
Insurance.
Insurance for the modern world. They were born online and offer tools for drivers to make decisions about their car insurance.
I have my own tools.
Yeah, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Exactly.
Insurance, an Allstate company. And
the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation,
supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being. And
Lumber Liquidators,
hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional.
More at lumberliquidators.com.
And even though nudist colonies approve the temporary use of earmuffs whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members. From the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to inflate, rotate, and evaluate your tires. Information on tire safety is online at tiresafety.com. And support comes from Tennessee Farm Bureau Insurance, a local Tennessee insurance company with 170 offices in 135 communities, supporting local businesses and products in Tennessee. Information on local agents at fbitn.com. Listener support is our most important source of funding at Nashville Public Radio. Make a contribution this week during our Summer E-Pledge, and you'll have a chance to win an Alaskan cruise for two. Pledge now at WPLN.org.
Nashville International Airport connects Middle Tennessee travelers to the world. BNA seeks to learn about the places travelers need to go and improve air service options to take them there. In fact, Nashville International Airport has new nonstop flights to Boston, New York City, Los Angeles, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Pensacola. More information is at flynashville.com, including opportunities for airport-related updates and traveler comments. flynashville.com.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
This the suggestion for this puzzler came out of cyberspace from a fellow named Michael Leiden, and he writes, I cut my mechanic's teeth, so to speak, as a pump jockey at a Sunoco station in the burbs of Cleveland. In other words, he pumped gasoline at a gas station. And he adds in parentheses, that's the one hint you get.
Oh, I forgot
that. We don't know what
hint.
The hint was, actually. Was it gasoline? Was it suburb? Or was it Cleveland?
Yeah, we don't know.
And he writes further, we had a guy who helped out holding wrenches, catching oil spills, holding up cars, and his name was Harley. Strong as an ox and twice as smart, we said. One day, a friend came in with a Chevy 350 engine that he had picked up at a junkyard and was going to rebuild. And he wanted some pointers on what to do. And how to go about the tear down and all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked, how do I get the engine to rotate in the other direction? Now, if you just picked up any old Chevrolet 350 engine, it would rotate clockwise, but this fellow wanted to make it rotate counterclockwise. Well, Harley was stumped, as you might expect, but the question is, why would you want to rebuild an engine so it would run backwards?
Wow.
And the hint is Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Where is Cleveland?
Cleveland is on the Ohio River.
No. How about Lake Erie?
The Mississippi River. Yeah, well, I was thinking about boats.
Well, you were...
I knew Cleveland was near water.
And if you were thinking about boats and you had two inboard engines, you would want one of them to go one way and one to go the other way. Otherwise, the boat would just go around in circles all the time. You want the props to wash in opposite directions.
So that would make you go really nice and straight ahead.
I would think so. I don't really know, but that's what they do. And I'm taking...
Do they do that now?
How do I know? I don't even own a boat. The rumors are all false. I do not own a boat. I have never made a boat payment in my life, so I wouldn't know.
But why would it matter? I don't like it.
It could be bogus. It could. I'm just going on blind faith.
Blind faith.
And it seemed intuitively obvious that you would want the props to go in opposite directions. For symmetrical reasons.
It's nothing else. But I don't think it's necessary.
I don't either.
I really don't think it's necessary.
Hey, who's the one who submitted this? Mike Leiden.
Yeah.
He's the one who's going to take
it. Ask him.
In fact, we'll give you his email address if it turns out to be bogus. You can send the nasty emails to him.
It ain't easy to get it to turn backwards.
Well, no, it isn't. That'll be next week's puzzler.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And since there are, here's why I think it's bogus. Since there are lots of boats that have two engines, it seems unlikely to me that some of them are running backwards.
Well, like half of them.
Like half of them, because it's not easy to do.
And if you had one engine, how would you get that to run backwards and forwards at the same time? Figure that out.
Yeah.
Did we have a winner? Did someone send an answer in?
No.
I didn't think so.
Why would we have a winner for a bogus puzzler? Yeah, we got a winner. The winner is John Wyand from Carrollton, Ohio.
Right
up the road from Cleveland. Of course, that's why he won. And for having his correct answer selected at random from all the correct answers we got this week, John Wyand from Carrotville.
Just read that thing.
Is going to win a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our Father's CD collection just in time for Father's Day. Why you should never listen to your father when it comes to cars. You have to hurry, though. We only have a few hundred million of these sitting in the basement.
Well, anyway, we'll have a new, I guess, mathematical puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Hold your horses there.
Michael Leiden.
Can hear you breathing heavy in the background. Who's this?
This is Terry calling from Naknek, Alaska.
Terry?
Oh, man. Macnick.
No, Naknek. N-A-K-N-E-K.
N-A-K. Oh, Naknek.
It's out in the bush. It's about 300 air miles west, southwest of Anchorage. There's no road to get here. We have to barge and fly everything in, including my truck.
And you live there. Why?
I live because I like it. Because it's safe from the real world. You don't have to take your keys out of your car or lock your house.
How many other people live in Naknek, Alaska?
Well, it's sort of a community in that across the river there's 100 people in South Naknek, and 14 miles down the road is King Salmon, and there's about 400 people down there, and there's about 400 here.
400 people.
Naknekians.
Naknekians.
Yeah. Oh, Naknekites. Are you Naknekites?
Native Naknekites.
Yes, I am.
But you're not a native Naknekite.
No, I've only lived here about 17 years.
17 years. Terry.
Somebody has to. No, not. That's not true.
That's not true. I mean, that's my question. What brought you there? Why are you there? You don't like civilization.
Yes, I like civilization. My grandparents always wanted to live in Alaska, and they both passed away before they ever even got to come here.
Oh, so you're channeling them.
I'm channeling, yes.
You're channeling. My father always wanted to go to California, and he died never having gone there. I mean, for his whole life, 93 years of his life, he always said, I should have gone to California.
So did you make the pilgrimage for him?
I'm not going either.
You're not going
No, I'm trying to keep up the family tradition.
Right, he's on his own.
I'm not going to go take a trip that he should have taken. Come on.
So what are we going to have to do to your truck to get you out of Naknek?
Well, I have a 1996 Dodge Dakota Sport. It's got an automatic, and it's starting to do this thing where when it's warm, which really isn't very often, but when
yeah,
it's warm.
I guess not. Lucky you.
Anytime I drive it for like 2 or 3 miles, it won't start up again and stay running after I turn it off. I mean, so when the motor's even the slightest bit warm, once I start it again, it dies immediately. It can't keep going. I have to, like, give it a lot of gas and ram it into gear, which I know is bad, but that's the only way I can make it keep going. I can start over and over and over, and it will not stay running until I get it running, and then it's okay.
And how long does it take before it will stay running?
Probably, I'd say, a mile or 5 minutes, something like that.
So, but in every case, you've always just held your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time, shoved it into drive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And taken off. And if need be, you've come to a traffic light, if there is such a thing in King Salmon.
Yes.
You've come to a traffic light. All right. A moose crossing. And you've held your foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. And if you didn't do that, it would stall out.
You've got it.
Got it. You got a problem with that? Every car I've ever owned had that.
Yes, they have a problem with that.
Does the check engine light should be on?
No.
It isn't on.
Not on.
Really?
Does this have a temperature gauge in it?
Yes, and the temperature is fine.
Now, what if you didn't stop?
If I didn't stop, if I leave it running, when I get out and I leave it running, it will stay running, and it's not a problem.
And if you go to King Salmon, it runs fine all the way, 14 miles, right?
All the way. All the way, yes.
And if you leave it running, it will keep running. It's only if you turn it off and turn it back on again.
Well, here's what happens when you turn a car off. You shut off the heat dissipating mechanism, i.e. the water pump and the fan and all that jazz. And if you were to just get back into it after even driving 3 miles and turn the key on without starting it, you'd notice the temperature gauge was way up near hot. Because when you shut off the engine, you stop dissipating the heat, and the heat that's in the engine stays in the engine. And what
always happens when you stop.
This is not an abnormality. This is typical of every car.
Right.
So if there's something, wrong, for example, if you have a faulty coolant temperature sensor, and it's reading the temperature incorrectly, it will make the fuel injection behave peculiarly. And I would predict that if you just sat there with it long enough and let it cool off, it would start up and be perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, I swear, it sounds like air. It's like it doesn't get any air, and it just all of a sudden stops.
It ain't air,
Terry.
There's
no sputtering.
Leave that idea. Forget that idea.
Okay.
That idea is not going to work.
Vapor locking.
That's not going to fly. Well, it is not air.
I doubt it's vapor locking. I also doubt it's the fuel pump, although anything could is possible. But you don't have like a repair shop in one of these towns.
Well, we do, but everything's hit and miss. I mean, we don't have like computerized where you can go plug it in. You know, I got a guy who goes, I think it's the oxygen sensor. I think it's this. I think it's the fuel pump. You know, and pretty soon you got a new engine. And
what do you mean? There's no King Salmon Chrysler Plymouth dealer up there?
No,
huh? Well, there's an opportunity for somebody. Well,
I
would send away for a coolant temp sensor first because they're cheap.
Coolant temp sensor, okay.
Now, that doesn't mean it can't be something else. It could be a bad ignition coil. It could be certainly a bad fuel pump relay. But you're not going to figure any of this out without some test equipment or some very good guesses.
And that's why I have you.
Yeah. I mean, the next thing I'd suspect is a faulty coil.
Okay.
And I don't even know if this thing has more than one coil. It may have more than one coil. It might have a coil pack. But that's the thing that's also very temperature sensitive.
Okay.
And you're going to get on this because you're going to miss summer.
Yeah.
You don't get this fixed.
Right. We already did. It was yesterday.
See you, Terry.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks
bye.
For your call. Bye-bye.
Neck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. We do get some very interesting callers from Alaska.
Well, they're obviously interesting people. She went there 17 years ago because her grandparents wanted to go. Get that. She went there because her grandparents wanted to go. She didn't say she wanted to go.
No.
She just wanted to know, why do they want to go
there? She hates those old geezers.
And she stayed for 17 years.
Yeah. Hey, what happens? Well, anyway, hello. Is someone out there?
Hi, this is Keller Grace. I'm calling from Williamsburg, Virginia.
Keller?
Yes.
From Williamsburg?
Williamsburg, Virginia, that's right.
Keller, as in Keller Atil?
Keller, yes, I get that, actually.
There you go.
One of the many nicknames that you can make from that name.
So what's up, Kel?
Well, I've got a Beetle here.
No kidding.
And it's my second one, but it's time to part ways with it for various reasons. And in the left passenger's floorboard is a big hole. Rather, there is no left passenger's floorboard.
Yeah, there's a carpet over it.
No, there's nothing, actually.
There's nothing. Oh, that's good. You can see what the weather is.
The left rear floorboard?
Left front floorboard.
That's the driver's side.
No, right then. I'm sorry. The passenger side.
Oh, the right left side.
Is gone.
The right left side. The passenger side. That's curious.
I took this seat out to get this shoddy fix-it job that was there before it completely out.
Yeah.
And so my question is, what might I do to get something else in there? I had a friend with a MIG welder, and I had a street sign, but he went to Alaska.
So now, street sign.
So I'm left with a street sign and a friend with access to welding material, but it can't come to the car. So we could cut a piece of the street sign to fit in the car, but then the question is how best to get it in there.
Oh, so this is
you've purloined like a stop sign?
No, it was found.
Oh, found, and you picked it up? You can't pick those things up. It's interesting how people's notion of what's right and wrong changes when something changes position.
Well,
you would never think of climbing up that pole and ripping the sign off.
Oh, no.
But it's fair game once it falls to the ground.
Well, it was in the house when we moved into it.
Ah, so he's completely innocent.
So now you want this piece welded in.
Well, the thing is, the friend with the MIG welder's in Alaska now. So I don't have someone that can come to the car and weld it in for me. But what I do have is a friend that has access to a welding equipment inside a building.
Someone's got a welding set in a building. What kind of a building is it? An office building?
It's an art studio.
It's an art studio. This is
an artiste.
A sculptor.
Yes.
Has oxyacetylene torch.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I got you now.
There is one admonition, which may be unnecessary, but I'll make it anyway. The gas line runs through that tunnel.
That was a question I had, too. What might happen if you get a welder down in there?
That would be bad.
Uh-huh.
The unfortunate
thing, though, is the car has a propensity to run out of gas because the gauge is broken. So it probably wouldn't be hard to do that.
Well,
but would fumes still linger?
Well, it doesn't take much gas
Don't think that there's no gas just because the gauge says empty or the car doesn't run.
Uh-huh.
When that oxyacetylene flame gets anywhere near anything, it doesn't take much, as you yourself may know.
Okay.
If you've ever fooled around with a lawnmower like I have. It doesn't take much to get a pretty violent explosion.
Okay.
So I would make sure I took it someplace where a guy would have some experience doing this.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have any artist do it.
No.
The artist would just help me cut out the sign to fit the space.
And then how's the piece going to stay in there?
That's my question.
Oh, I see.
Well, see, unfortunately, the floor of this car is more than just the floor.
Right.
It is in fact the whole pan.
It's the structure.
It's the frame of the car.
There's still some edge around the frame, though, that can support the sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you need to weld the sign in. That's the bottom line.
I can't glue it in.
You can't glue it in.
No, because you've got a huge hole there, which if you don't make it part of the structure, you've got a structure with a big hole in it.
Right.
So that's not really good.
On the other hand, you don't usually sit on this side of the car.
As a matter of fact, there's not even a seat there. We took that out.
And you're going to sell it anyway. You started out the whole conversation by telling us you were going to part company.
I want to get it in selling condition, so I don't have the moral obligation of sort of
falling
through.
Well, you do have the moral obligation of making it somewhat safe.
Exactly.
Unless you sell it in as-is condition, in which case you disclose what's wrong with it.
Right.
And you heap the moral obligation on the next owner.
In which case, just put the sign in the front seat and sell it as is with the sign laying there saying this sign must be welded around that hole.
Okay.
And I would feel comfortable telling somebody that.
Okay.
I don't think you have any obligation to go on and make sure that this person follows your advice.
No.
I mean,
exactly.
You've done your part.
Your moral obligation by just telling the new owner what has to be done.
Yeah.
So do it right. I mean, either fix it right, have a qualified welder do it, and that person will know how to do it without setting the car on fire.
Right.
And if the car does get set on fire,
then you're all done. Look at it that way.
Claim the blue book value.
Yeah, right. Just don't be around while he's doing it.
But don't do it yourself, because it is tricky.
Sell it as is, you think?
Yeah.
Sell it as is.
Okay.
Put the sign over the hole.
Yeah.
Good luck, Keller.
Good, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was a very informative little discussion we had just there. I mean, it had moral principles involved in it. Mm-hmm. It had technology involved in it. It was wonderful.
Very little technology. Well, look, we're at that point of the show again. You know that point?
Is this where the NPR higher-ups parade two real mechanics by our studio and glare at us threateningly? Is that it?
No. This is where we take a break to prepare for the new puzzler.
Ah, good. We'll be back in just a minute. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our seasonal fireworks display appearing wherever my brother is testing a battery from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Sit for Life and Herman Miller, featuring the Aeron chair, including the true black color. Sit for Less is now sitforlife.com. And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
And even though road paving crews throw their radios under the grater whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Rock and roll maverick or country outlaw, however you describe Johnny Cash, he's undoubtedly one of the giants of American music.
45 years later, his 1968 release, At Folsom Prison, deserves a deeper look. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot, and this week on Sound Opinions, Jim and I conduct a classic album dissection of Cash's legendary recording, At Folsom Prison.
Sunday evenings at 7.
Back.
Wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler, which is, did I say mathematical?
You said mathematical.
I did it. It's like,
I
it's,
like
it's
mathematical.
Not heavy duty math. It's, this is like
addition, subtraction?
In that vein. I mean, it takes a little mathematical skill. I think this is good for our school age listeners.
Fourth, fifth grade?
Seventh, eighth, ninth, grade. Tenth.
They're the hardest.
11th, 12th.
Oh, man. Those are the hardest.
Those are my favorite grades.
Okay. Yeah, you were in them long enough.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Tommy and Dougie and I are sitting around the office one day at Car Talk Plaza.
Is this the day you fell asleep when we...
No, no, it wasn't
the day. Tape recorded you snoring.
No, that wasn't that day. Close, though. And we're looking around and noticing how dingy the place looked. I mean, after all, we'd been there for like 15 years, and the place had never been spruced up, you know, painted. So we decided that we were going to paint the place, okay?
Yeah.
And we didn't really know which of us or which team of us was going to do it. So we sat down and we decided to do a little figuring. Are you paying attention?
Am I going to need a pencil?
Yeah.
Okay.
We determined that Tommy and I, mm-hmm. together, we could paint the entire Car Talk Plaza in 10 days. Having had, you know, we had a lot of painting experience as kids, having painted Dad's car a couple of times with brushes, you know, so we knew we could bang it off in 10 days. Dougie and I could do it in 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tom and Doug worked together, they could do it in 30 days.
Mm.
And the question very simply is, as you might expect,
yeah,
how long would it take each of us painting by ourselves to paint the whole joint? It's that simple. Now, if you think
how long would it take Tom, how long would it take Ray, and how long would it take Dougie?
Exactly right. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a $26 bill and send it to, we've got to offset these things we're giving away, send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mitch, and I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Mitch from Brooklyn. What's up?
All right, here's the deal. I have a 92 Ford Escort.
Yeah?
My son and I have noticed the car has a whirring noise, kind of a like when you used to put a baseball card in a
spokes of your bike. Yeah.
Right. Now, it only occurs, though, at 1,400 RPM. At 13, it stops. When you go beyond the 14, it stops. Now, that whirring noise, though, and this is where we might need some MIT grads.
Yeah.
Because that might be an acoustic quirk, because when we notice that when you start the car in the garage, when the wall is much closer, the sound, instead of being a brrrr, is more of a...
Oh.
You all right?
More of a metallic sound than that pleasing sound of the Roman Mejia's car going through the Schwinn.
Right. So when the engine is cold and you're in a confined spot, there's a different dynamic at work than when the engine is warmed up and you're out in the road.
So it's not the acoustics of the wall being closer?
No. I don't think so. Sure, that has something to do with it. But I think the overriding thing is that if the engine is cold and you're in a confined space.
I think we have here a case of a sympathetic vibration.
Is that what all it is?
I feel a certain connection with your vibration, too.
This is a simple 801 issue.
Oh, is it?
Yes. 801. It's the freshman physics course at MIT.
Ah.
Right, my brother knows because he took it four times.
That's right.
And we might have some forced, undamped harmonic motion.
Yeah, you have a loose... piece of sheet metal
that's vibrating,
and this piece of sheet metal is located in the vicinity of the exhaust system.
Uh-huh.
And usually these things are called heat shields.
Right.
Not be confused with what they had on the
space shuttle.
The space shuttle, right.
Uh-huh.
So, and you need to go to a shop and have them check it out. And they, you can reproduce this without driving the car. If they put it on the lift and you bring the revs up,
well, he does it in the garage.
You get it to do it every time.
And so, but this is the kind of thing that would only happen at certain RPM.
Oh, that's... sure.
Sure.
That's how it all works, man. As soon as that vibration of the engine reaches a certain point, it makes other things vibrate at the same rate. And the things won't vibrate unless you get to that rate.
It induces what's called a sympathetic vibration.
So this is not going to kill me, though, if I don't bring it in within the next week or so,
no,
right?
Of course not. It's been doing it for 6 months anyway, right?
Actually, only for the past few weeks, or else we just blotted out the noise, pretended it wasn't there, and then we had a baseball card in the tires. That probably was what we thought it was. Okay, guys, thanks for your help.
Hey, thanks, Mitch.
Okay,
bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
How are you?
Not bad.
Not too bad. I've been worse and I've been better, but not bad.
You and me both. I'm going to say at the outset that I'm going to open myself to a lot of ridicule by telling you guys that my question's about a Dodge Dart.
Hey!
Yeah, I figured who better to call than you?
Who better to call?
It's also a 63.
No kidding!
No kidding, and it's not a convertible, it's a wagon. And I've only had it for 3 months, and I was driving back from the coast.
Just tell me, have they been 3 happy months?
Oh, they have. The push-button automatic is a joy.
Oh, isn't it?
I fixed the little light behind the push buttons, and I don't want to turn the lights off now.
Yeah. Isn't it awesome?
And it looks at you and says, shift me.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It's wonderful.
It's not really a light. It's sort of a glow, you know, just a little.
It's wonderful.
It's kind of like bioluminescence. It's probably some fungus that's growing behind the dashboard.
I think it was radiation.
I think somebody...
they put little pieces of U-235 back.
So I shouldn't shift too often.
I wouldn't shift too often, yeah.
Otherwise,
no.
Use your fingertips getting burned.
Try to use your foot. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. Anyway, here's the problem. I was driving back from the coast about 2 weeks ago, and I had the radio on, and I all of a sudden started hearing a drum beat that I was pretty sure wasn't coming from the radio. I said, tap, 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 tap.
Wait, whoa, whoa. What's this radio thing you're talking about?
Aftermarket.
Ah, okay.
So I pull off. And a fellow at a gas station, I needed gas anyway, told me it sounded like the tappet arms. So I had the 63 manual that I'd bought at a junk shop, and I pull it apart, and I start adjusting the tappet arms, and it sounds worse. So
that's good. It means you're honing in on the source of the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But the noise is coming right from the top of the engine.
From the top of the engine, right from the area around the valve cover.
Yeah.
I have since heard from someone else that it's probably a piston rod bearing. And I've noticed since I've been driving it that at idle, the oil light comes on.
Oh, the dreaded rod knock.
That's exactly what I mean, the second thing.
When the engine is idling, Mark,
mm-hmm.
what's the frequency of this noise? Is it tock, 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 tock?
No, it's faster.
Oh, it's faster.
That's it.
At idle.
Yeah, but
that could be good news.
Well,
it's so hard to know. It's too. I mean, what you got to next time? Here's what you do.
Did you really enjoy these last 3 months?
I did.
Start it up again and go out into the driveway and crawl underneath the car.
Okay.
And see if the noise is louder down there than it is up top. It would be better to do this with a short hunk of hose.
Right.
Any
I'll
kind
put
of
the hose.
Hose
against the engine and the other.
Put the hose right against the oil pan underneath there, and if the noise is really loud right there, call us back.
No, don't call.
Yeah, I mean it's very possible that it's a rod knock.
When you start the engine, the oil light's not on at first, right?
No, it's not on at first, but as the oil gets hot and looser.
Well,
if you're really lucky, you might need just an oil pump.
That's what I was thinking too, but. Here's the other thing I was thinking. Once this happened, I thought maybe the whole engine's toast. Started to shop around, and I found a 64 engine that's been pressure checked, both the valves and the oil, for like under $300. If it is in fact a rod bearing, do you think that's worth the investment?
Well, here's what you do: you buy this one for $300. You obviously. Committed, well, should be committed anyway, to keeping this car for the long haul, so to speak. Is that true?
That's true.
Sure he is.
What do you do for a living, if you don't mind?
Now I'm going to open myself to more ridicule.
Yeah.
I'm an art historian.
See, and here's
I knew I shouldn't have asked.
Wait a minute. Now, here is a man who appreciates art and chooses to drive a 63 Dodge Dart.
He must be into that modern art.
I should be committed.
Jeez, Mark.
Yeah.
And you sounded so normal, too.
You did, really.
I know.
I'm surprised.
I have a great facade.
Well, I mean...
Well, anyway, what I was going to recommend is the following.
Okay.
Are you into putting the engine in yourself?
Yeah, I'm not against that at all, as a matter of fact.
You buy this $300 engine.
Mm-hmm.
And you rebuild it first. And you drive this thing by feeding it a constant diet of motor honey and overripe bananas. And you just run it until it stops completely, at which time you'll have completed the rebuild on the other one.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, bananas, motor
honey,
and
honey.
Maybe a few papayas.
Salt and pepper.
Get this engine and start rebuilding something.
Okay.
Now.
Excellent.
Hang up and go get the engine.
Okay.
Good luck, Mark.
Well, good. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jan calling from Little Rock.
Hi, Jan.
Little Rock.
And Jan has two N's, by the way.
I knew that.
Oh,
Jan.
Now, how did you get two N's?
I don't know. It's just long for Jan.
It sure is. You may as well put two J's in.
That'd be good.
That'd be good. Why not?
Yeah.
No, I mean, names can be anything you want them to be now, and I think that's great.
Better yet, they can be anything your mother wants them to be.
There you go.
Did you ever ask Mom? What were you thinking with that extra N?
She could not come up with a good explanation.
She couldn't?
No.
What was her name?
Annette.
With three N's.
So what's going on, Jen?
Well, I drive a 95 Honda Del Sol, which is, you know, a little two-seater.
Sure, we know what it is.
Well, I love the car, but about a year ago, I acquired a 77-pound, mostly Labrador Retriever.
Oh.
And we go often to visit my parents, who have a little farmette about an hour away. And she gets car sick.
You and the dog.
Yeah. So I have a two-part question. The first is, what sort of vehicle should I buy to make her more comfortable and less messy? And the second part of the question is, how do I get them to let me test drive it with her in the car?
Well, I know. That's easy.
Well,
is it?
Yeah, you have to go at night. The dog is tied to a telephone pole around the corner from the dealership. And you whistle for her, and she jumps in, and you go for your test drive.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, if she's going to blow her cookies, I mean, you don't want to buy the thing, right?
Right. But, you know, I've been doing some very scientific research on this, and I drove her up once in an Explorer, and she did fine.
How old is Muffy here?
She's six, but I've only had her for a year.
Oh, she is?
She was a Humane Society dog.
Oh.
And it may be that she doesn't have much experience. I've discovered... from various dogs that have
blown lunch in your car,
that they, for lack of a better expression, that they do get cured of it eventually.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I asked how old she was, because our dog did the same thing when she was young.
Huh.
But she outgrew it by the time she was like two.
How long does it take before, and has she ever barfed down like the defroster vent?
No, but she barfed into that little soft area around the gear shift one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was
great.
Quite a mess.
Oh, boy. Thank God for those dust busters, huh?
How much warning does she give you? Because our dog used to go into the spasms.
Well,
and if you were really quick, you could actually pull over, run around, let her out before she hurled chucks.
Sometimes.
She would give you the... And then, oh, no! And bingo!
I mean, you're not doing anything absurd like feeding her just before you get in the car.
No. Her little nose starts to sweat, and that's how I can... Yeah.
Well, I think you need... there are two choices here. You need a much bigger car.
Yeah.
Are you averse to a pickup truck?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what that would do to my image, but if I could hose it out, that would be a good thing.
Well, a pickup truck with a cap on the back, and a bed liner, and one of those sliding windows so that you and Poochie can communicate.
Gotcha.
So she can barf on your neck.
Down the back of my shirt, yeah.
But I think the pickup truck might be the thing. But you can always hose the thing down. And the best part is, if she does get sick, she's going to have to live with the smell.
Yeah, it's all her.
Typically, from my vast experience in barfing.
Yes.
The larger, rougher riding vehicles are better than the smoother riding vehicles.
And why would that be?
I don't know. Have you ever taken her on a cruise?
She loves boats.
Oh, there
now
you
she's
go.
She's good in a boat.
See,
she's good in a boat.
You know what you need? A Lincoln. You need a Lincoln Town Car.
A Lincoln Town Car. If she likes boats, that's a boat.
Yeah.
A barge of some sort.
Yeah, I think dogs like that boom, that swooshy, sloshy feeling.
That big land yacht kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think your little car going hitting every feeling every little pebble in the road. It's
yeah.
just churning her stomach. And the poor thing, she can't help herself.
She can't.
No.
She means well.
So go big.
Okay.
If you can't go big, go ugly.
And hide the dog around the corner for the test drive.
There you go.
Yeah.
See you, Jan.
Thank you.
All right.
So
bye-bye. Well, happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Burmese, canned peas, cottage cheese, iced teas, and takeout Cantonese taste teas is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our ornithologist in training is Luke A. Boyd. Our staff tailor is you, Jazz. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known to the... They're going to throw us off the air. Known to the art history grads selling macrame potholders in Harvard Square as is you and Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack the Tapper Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Our staff tailor, you Jess. Why didn't we think of him before? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1322, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our list of summer driving tips.
Check them out before your summer road trip.
I have no road trips planned this summer. I mean, I've got everything I need right here in our fifth city. I got warm weather, I got iced cappuccino.
Isn't your ex-mother-in-law coming to visit in August?
How far did you say the Grand Canyon is? What is it, 2,000 miles? Get me MapQuest.
That's Car Talk's summer driving tips.
All this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators,
supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR.
Information at lumberliquidators.com.
And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And
Esurance,
with a tool called Express Lane, where customers can get an auto insurance quote by providing name, address, and birth date without the car's details. You know, I think my brother can remember those, right?
How about two out of three?
Esurance, an Allstate company. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dogs come back and try to remove their markings from the side of the NPR building whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.